Amen. That was a beautiful song, Sister Heather. That really was. That was gorgeous. And I'm like Sister Gracie. I've only been serving the Lord for 4 years. I got saved when I was 13 on a Wednesday night over in that corner right there. I remember it like it was yesterday. But even then, I don't know what I'd do without Christ. I mean, I think about it. Who does the world turn to when they need some help? I mean, when the world, I know the world has problems. They got more problems than I do. I mean, who do they turn when they need some help? I mean, I don't understand how they can live. It don't even make sense to me. It just don't make sense how they can turn down Christ when he's got such a beautiful offer for them. I mean, it just don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
If you have your Bibles and you stand, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. The Bible says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." I'd like to ask Brother Al if he'd lead us in prayer before we begin this service.
Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Again,
we ask
you, Lord, for your word to give us as we don't withhold it. We might be able, Lord, to be molded and shaped to what the original design that you made for us. Pray, God, that you would strengthen us through your word. Touch Brother Andrew as he ministers the word. God, give him the thoughts that you have laid upon his heart to be able to bring it forth, Lord, that it would help us to receive it. And Lord, we need you, and we're leaning on you for all things. I know that, God, without you, I don't know what we would do. But I do know one thing, Lord. He said you would be with us, and I count on that promise. I'm asking, Lord, you have your way here today. We'll give you the praise for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
The church say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Bless you, Lord.
I've got a really simple thought to share today. It's a really simple message, and a lot of it comes from the song Trust and Obey, and that's the title I'd like to give to this sermon here, and Trusting and Obey. If you look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and you see the different words that are used here, and I'd like to bring out a couple of them right now. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he," meaning Abel, "obtained witness that he was righteous, and then God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." God has graciously chosen to use us as the church as his means of work in this world. He has chosen it. We never said we wanted it. He just chose us for that work. And he has graciously done that, and there's a fine line that we have to walk in service for God, knowing that we can't do his part and he won't do our part. He won't do our part as in he decided he's not going to do it. He gave us a job to do and he's going to let us do it. And if we don't do it, that's on us. And we have in our own power cannot do his part, the part that he has for us to do in this work. And it's God that does the work. We are just his messengers. We are just his vessels for him to do the work. And in the first verse of that song, it says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey." And if you look at this verse, it's just like the verse we read in the Bible when it says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. As you can see in reading that verse like that, there's a click there that has to happen. It's between us and God. It's the way He designed it. He designed this work for us to do, and we are got to be knit together for it to work, us with God. Because you read it, that whole verse is lined with we and Him and us and Him. It's through His power that we do the work. It's not that He does the work, and it's not by our power. It's by His power we do the work God has set for us. And we can't do it. We can't do it. If you notice the title of that song, it's Trust and Obey. It's not just obey. It's trust and obey. It's us taking the first step. It's us making the decision, all right, I'm going to serve God. Then we trust Him. We obey Him by saying, okay, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to do it with all I have. And then we trust in Him to make up the hedge, to make up what's missing in that. Our decision alone can't do it. We say, okay, I'll serve God. That's not enough to do the work that is set before us. We need His power to do the rest. And He's the only one that has that power that we can get it done by. And also, we can't make ourselves ready to do the work either. It's trusting in God and laying it at His feet. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, it says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that same trust and obey right there. It says, Come unto me. That's us trusting God to go unto Him, to trust Him with all our troubles, with all our labors and our heavy laden. And it says, If you come unto me, that's obeying Him. He says, Come unto me. We obey Him and we trust Him. We obey Him. Say, He says to come unto me, we obey Him, and we trust Him when we say, God can handle this, that's why I'm bringing it to Him. And then He will give you rest. That's His part. On the giving you rest, that's His part. So many times, it's that fine line we have to walk. So many times we overstep it or don't go far enough. We say, okay, God has given us power, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all by myself, and He has given me the power, I'll never need Him again, I'll just do it all myself. We do that when we have spiritual burdens sometimes, just like the charismatics do. All right, I'm going to believe it and it's done. No, all you got to believe it, yes, but there's proactive in it too. There's us doing parts in it too. And there's also that, but there's trusting in it too. It's a very fine line that we have to walk. And so many times we get it wrong and say, okay, then if God's going to do it, I'm going to sit back and do nothing. That won't work either. God has given us a job to do, and if we have a problem, whatever the answer to that problem is, He wants us to do it. Whether it be coming to Him in prayer, that's still us obeying Him and doing the work. We have to come to Him in prayer. And even in trusting in Him, that takes a part on ours. We have to trust Him. That's not something that just comes. It's us trusting Him. That is a verb, trusting. That means we do something in it. It's not just automatic. It's we trust Him. So many times we say, well, if I've got to do it, then it ain't God. No, that's not it either. If we have to do it, it's still God, but He has chosen that we do it. It's not just because we do it that it ain't right. No, there is some of that. Some people do go too far in that and say, I'm going to do it all. But there's also others who don't do enough. And they sit back and wait for God to do it when He has given us that job. He's not going to push us. We are a free moral agent. And we will do what we want to do. And He has given us that choice. And so if we choose to do God's will, that's us. That's us choosing to do it. And also, one of the hardest things that to trust to God is our minds. I mean, our understanding, our knowledge. When we think about it, if we have to have every question answered about God before we trust Him, then it's not us trusting God. It's us trusting our understanding. If we have to wait until every answer and say, okay, if that's God's will, then He's going to have to answer every one of my questions before I do it. That's not trusting God. That's trusting ourselves, our own understanding. If we know everything, why do we need to trust God? If we know all the questions, if we know the answers to every question, why do we need to trust God? We need to trust God for something. And if we know everything and have everything, then we don't need to trust Him. And then it's just us doing the work and God has no part in it. So verses like this in Psalm 139 and 6 says, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That was David talking when he was talking about how the Lord directs his step and how He knows my every thought and how He knows the future and the past. He says it's too... For me to understand that, how God can be omnipotent and know everything, then it's too high for me. I can't understand it. It's like when Brother Woods preached on Psalm 131 and 1. Lord, my heart is not too haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. There's some things we just have to trust to God and we don't understand them. I mean, if you think about it, it don't make a lot of sense for us to trust a man who died 2,000 years ago on a wooden cross in a world halfway around the world away. That don't make sense for us to trust him in 2011. He died 2,000 years ago. But that's the foolishness of this world. And God has chosen the foolish things of this world, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, which the things the world despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why he has chosen these things. Because if you read up and more in that passage, it says, I'll paraphrase it, Paul says to the Corinthian church, have you noticed that there's not many wise among you according to the world, or not many strong according, because of their pride. They think in their own minds, I'm so wise, and that don't make sense to me, then it can't be, because I can't wrap my mind around it, And the strength says, well, I'm too strong. I don't need Christ. That's the base things of this world. I don't need a lowly old peasant carpenter to help and save me. I'm strong enough by myself. But God has chosen through the foolish things, the things that don't make sense to our own minds, and the base things, the weak things of this world, to save us. And that's a wonderful picture there. Because he's saying the things that we wouldn't expect to, he has used to save us. A carpenter dying on a tree 2,000 years ago has brought me new life that is more glorious than anything that I could ever have done. And I didn't even know him 2,000 years ago. That's a long time if we think about it. 2,000 years ago, and that man has saved me today. He saved me 4 years ago when I was 13 years old. He saved me. That was 2007. That was 2007 years approximately after he had died that he saved me and gave me new life. That's a thing that I can't wrap my head around, but that's what God has used to save me and to bring me new life that I can't wrap around my head. The whole new picture that I've gotten, my eyes have been opened, yes, but I still can't understand the new world that I'm in through that man who died 2,000 years ago. He is using something else to absolutely blow my mind away in something that I can't understand. And he's using the things that I wouldn't think could save me, as in they were weak, the base things. A carpenter dying, a lowly peasant. That would be like us going to the man who works a normal job every night and goes and lives in a trailer park and just, you know, a beat up old, you know, trailer park. And I ain't got nothing against trailer parks, and don't take that wrong. But it's just like that. The man that the everyday average man that we would see, that's how they saw him before he revealed himself. That's how everybody saw him. I mean, the people that saw him before he began his ministry, that's Jesus. That's the carpenter in Nazareth. He lives down the street, you know, he's nobody. I mean, I barely know him. I just know he lives down there. He's with his dad, you know, building things that we buy from him. I mean, that's nobody. But God used that, put a particular occupation, because it's one that was common to everybody. He knew he wanted everybody to know and to bring people down. They would have to humble themselves down before a carpenter to be their Lord and Lord and their King of Kings. That's just one of the glories that God has done. And that's just one way that no flesh can glory in his presence. And like I said before, but there is something out of that. Yes, we need to trust all our understanding to him. When it says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That doesn't mean God wants us to be mindless robots, though. I mean, just walking around with no understanding of anything that we have. But it's quite the opposite. Because when you think about it, and it's when we understand that our God is so much higher than us, and so much more than us, then that's when we have true understanding. It's recognizing that our God is above us so much that I can never understand everything that He has for me. And so I surrender my understanding, my mind, unto Him. It's when we get that understanding that we have really ultimate wisdom that a human can have. It's when we understand that my God is above me and I'm going to trust everything that I have to Him. And like I said before, we do have a part in this. It's not just God. It's God graciously chosen to work through us. It's trust and obey. It's not just obey, and it's not just trust. It's trusting and obeying. It's like in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, it says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." And then in Matthew 22 and 37, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul." That's us being proactive in it. It says, "Thou shalt." That's you doing it. And it says in 2 Corinthians, "Examine yourselves." That's you doing it also. God did not just make this that He pushed a button for us to push a button and it's done. We have proactive things to do in this. And it's, when it says, "Examine yourselves," that's our part. We need to examine ourselves daily, whether we be in the faith or not. And it's us loving the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not just Him doing it, it's us doing it, but with His power and His ability. That's the fine line that we have to walk with, and that click that we need to get into. It's us doing it, but with His power. And in the last verse of that song says, "Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." There's great promises if we do trust and obey. In Philippians 4 and 6 it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." If we want that last verse where it says, "The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ," we need to do the first verse too. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." There's that trusting and obeying again. I'm obeying God, but I'm bringing everything by prayer and supplication. But I'm trusting God because I'm bringing it through prayer and supplication, by asking Him. I'm obeying Him by bringing it to Him, and I'm trusting Him to do it by asking Him to do it. And in James 4 and 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." There's more trusting and obeying in that. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." That's us obeying Him, we'll draw nigh to Him, and trusting Him that He will fulfill His part in drawing nigh to you. It's a very fine line that we have to walk with Christ. And that last part of that song, "Never fear, only trust and obey." Our service to God does not need to be determined by our circumstances or our understanding, but by God. If God says for us to do something and we believe it is of Him, we have checked it by His Word and His Spirit witnessed it to us, we don't need to doubt it. We just need to obey and trust Him that He will bring out His part. If His Word says to do it, then we need to put all into it. We need to give everything we have to it. We need to trust Him with everything. And we need to obey Him. That's when we are walking with Christ. Is when we trust Him with everything and we obey all that He says for us to do. And that's the essence of the Christian life, is trusting and obeying. If we can get in that click, that I don't know how else to describe it, except for when it does happen, it will be a click and everything will flow right into place. When we trust and obey God with everything. With all that we have, we trust Him. Everything that I'm going to do, if it's checked out by His Word and it is His will, then I'm going to obey Him in it and I'm going to trust Him with it. Once we do that, we will follow Christ to the uttermost and we will fulfill His Word. I know that was a very simple thought, but it's very important that we get it in trusting and obeying Him. We can't trust Him without obeying Him. We can't obey Him without us trusting that He will help us to do it. His word is too much for me. I cannot fulfill this book without His help. That's what the Israelites did, and that's what Paul writes about in Romans 8, I believe it is, or 7, I can't remember. But that's the problem that he was in, the fix that he was in. He was trying to fulfill God's law without His power, without God's power. We'll be in that same problem if we try to obey and not trust. And if we trust without obeying, then we won't move forward. Because God has given us jobs to do, and if we don't fulfill them, then we're not going nowhere. Because God won't do them for us, and we can't do them without Him.
Praise God. It is a teamwork, church. God gives us the ability. We do our part. Amen. We must trust Him in everything. Even though we do not understand it, we put our trust in Him. The disciples, as I mentioned this morning, they struggled with that. They didn't understand why He was going to be crucified. But He wanted them to trust Him. As He told them in John chapter 14, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Me also. You've trusted God, trust Me." And He talked about that He's going to go and prepare a place for them. He's going to die, He's going to leave, He's going to be resurrected, and He's going to leave. But you need to trust Me. Put your trust in Me. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. Appreciate the word of the Lord. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Amen. No other way. He didn't mention that part, to be happy in Jesus. The only way you're going to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Amen. If you can't trust and obey God, you're not going to be a happy camper. Amen. You're going to have a hard time in this life. Praise God. Trust Him. Don't try to figure it out. You're not going to be able to do that. Just trust Him. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, the day You've given us. Lord, I thank You, Jesus, for the blessings, Lord, You stowed upon us. Thank You, O God, for Your word, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we'd be encouraged, Lord, and strengthened today from Your word. I ask, God, that You'd help us to draw nigh to You, Lord, and draw closer to You. I pray, God, that we just trust You, Lord, put our confidence in You, Lord. And God, that we'd be obedient to You, Lord, and what You have given to us, God. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for all You've blessed us with. I pray You'd keep Your hand upon us, Lord, this week. I ask, God, that You just do a work in our lives, Lord. And I pray, God, that we just come back, Lord, Wednesday night. And our next service, Lord, was just testimonies how good God has been to us, Lord. And God, how You've brought us through, Lord, different situations. We thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done for us. Pray, God, those that are not with us today, Lord, You'd keep Your hand upon them. Ask, God, that You'd give them safe travels, Lord. I pray, God, You'd bring us all back together, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Go and